Matthew chapter 5. The message today is fools, young and old. I want to read several passages. First in Matthew 5, verse 21, you have heard that it was said to them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 4, Ecclesiastes. You'll find Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 13. Better is a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who knoweth not how to receive admonition anymore. Now, 1 Samuel 25, this is Abigail speaking concerning her husband. 1 Samuel, verse 25, let not my Lord, that is David, I pray thee, regard this worthless fellow, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. And now chapter 26, verse 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my life was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. That's enough. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that in keeping your commandments, there is great reward. But also, in those commandments, your servants are warned. We pray, our God, that these passages, both old and new, shall instruct our hearts. And our God, may we not be among those that are spoken of as fools. We are thankful for your goodness to us this day, for the fellowship we've had thus far, and we desire to be fed from thy scriptures again. So, look upon us for good. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. A few weeks back, I gave a message entitled April Fools and Other Fools. And when I got through with the message, I went on about my business, was thanked for it, and then at the next meeting, there were two people who met me, and they said, here comes Mills, that old fool. And I said, what do you mean, here comes Mills, that old fool? They said, well, that's what you taught us. You were teaching us that you were old and that you were a fool, I said, but you've left something out. I said, I was telling you that I was a fool for Christ. You just learned that I was an old fool. I said, from now on, do not insult me, but compliment me by calling me a fool for Christ. And what has happened, they had heard the remarks I had made about fools and other fools, and I was trying to compliment myself, but all that came across was that I was an old fool. Well, what is so sad is that it may very well be that I am an old fool if some of the things that I read to you and want to relate to you turn out to be true about myself. And if they're true concerning me, they're true concerning you. And in the room, we have young people and we have old people. And there are young fools and there are old fools. And if I am to be called a fool, I'm an old fool. And all of you who would point at me and say, look at that old fool, I may well be able to point at you and say, look at that young fool. Because the Bible, it's amazing, is filled with fools, young and old. Now, at times, the old men have wisdom, and they seek to impart that wisdom to young men to keep them from being fools. But at times, the young men have to speak to old men to keep them from becoming fools. But what was the saddest thing that struck me was that at some places in the Bible, you have young and old joined together, and all of them are fools, and they are united in their undertaking. Do you realize that when the angels came to visit Lot in Sodom, it said that all the inhabitants of Sodom, the young and the old, surrounded Lot's house, and they were going to tear the door down, and they all had one thought in mind: perversion, corruption, vileness, homosexuality. And it said, the young and the old together were there. Now, that is a depressing thing. In like manner, I was reading in John chapter 8, and when the Lord Jesus was being tested, they were trying to catch him and embarrass him and accuse him to the authorities. They brought this woman taken in adultery and set her in the midst. And they said, now, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now, Moses in the law tells us to stone her. What do you say? And the Lord Jesus said nothing. He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they kept pressing him. And he said, let him that is without sin among you first cast a stone at her. And he stooped down and he wrote again. And after a while, they thought through what Christ had said, and it said they all went out, beginning with the eldest unto the least. And so you had old ones and young ones there, both accusing this woman, trying to ensnare the Lord Jesus Christ in his words. But thank God for this. The old ones fought through their lives and the sins that they had committed and what conviction they had. They went out. The eldest went out first. And then finally the young ones came to their senses and said, well, perhaps we had better go out too. There are some so brazen they would stay there and insult the Lord continually. But at least, thank God for these. The old ones went out and then the young ones went out. And the Lord Jesus turned to the woman and he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Is there no man that condemn thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And the Savior said, neither do I command thee. Go and sin no more. Never forget that. If you are ever relating the incident of the woman taken in adultery, do not bring out that Jesus forgave her and stop there. But having forgiven her, having said, neither do I condemn thee, he added, sin no more. The Lord Jesus is not one who condones adultery or homosexuality, but what he does in his compassion and grace is to extricate us from all that is involved and gives us another chance. But he says, now you go forth and sin no more. And so in the Bible, we have old fools and we have young fools. And since I'm old and I have more experience than you, I know all about you young fools because I was young once. David said that. He said, I have been young and now I am old. And also, I know that David committed sins in his youth, even though you and I do not know about them. But in Psalm 25, he says, O God, he says, remember not the sins of my youth. What made him think about the sins of his youth? When he was sinning in his old age, that is what made him remember. And so all you young folks can think about now is the few things that you've done wrong. But if you live to be 70 or 80 or 90, and then you falter as you go through life, then you think back of the sins of your youth and you wonder if God is going to deal with you for those sins that you committed then as well as the sins that you're committing in your old age. Being saved does not guarantee that you're going to go through life without sinning. It guarantees the possibility of your going through life without sinning. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. That's the will of God, that you sin not. But he immediately adds, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But he wants us to go through life without sinning. But most of us that are old can look back and remember, would to God that we could forget, but we can remember the sins of our youth. And then it may be that when you get old, you may not falter and you may not commit sins in your old age. For this reason, I read of two kinds of people in the Bible. Those that are old and do not commit sins, and those who in their old age commit sins. It says in Psalm 72, it says, the righteous are like the palm tree. They're like the cedar tree. They flourish in the house of the Lord. It said, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and green. Now, that is the possibility of old men in old age to bring forth fruit. But what has happened, and this is what has been so heartbreaking, is that I've read of those who started out well in the Bible in their youth, and in their old age they faltered, and they played the fool in Israel. Some of them are accused of committing folly. Some of them confess the folly themselves. And all you have to do to remember the examples is think of Saul, David, Solomon, Asaph. All you have to do is to think of the kings of Israel. And these kings that started out well in their youth all failed and sinned in their old age. And that is why David wrote Psalm 51. And that is why in Psalm 25 he says, remember not the sins of my youth, because he was sinning now in his old age. And so the hope is this, that you are young and you may turn out to be a Psalm 92 Christian, a righteous man of God. You flourish like the palm tree and the cedar tree. Or you may turn out to be like Solomon. It says this, that Solomon was given a nickname by God, Jedidiah, one that God loves. But it says that Solomon in his old age loved many strange women. And it said that God was angry with Solomon. And God said to him, I am going to divide your kingdom. Because in his old age, he was overcome by these women. But you say he was married to them. It makes no difference. He was married to them, and yet the one that he married and then formed an unholy union. And these ones that he married were followers of false gods. And they influenced this old man and said, I want you to make an idol for my God, and I want you to put it in a prominent place. And this old fool, Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible, this old fool, Solomon, went and made these idols for all the wives, and his heart clave to the women in love, and he followed after their idolatry. You who think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Beware of youthful lust. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Flee youthful lust. But then all of you older ones, beware, you flee old man's lusts, because the Bible is filled with all of them. Satan does not run out of temptations when you get older in life. He has temptations waiting for you in your old age that you were able to overcome in your youth. And so he knows when to tempt you as a young man, and when to tempt you as an older man. He knows your strength and he knows your weakness. And for that reason, when you think you're strong, that is when you falter. That is when Satan will be successful in causing you to fail in your old age. And so, let me tell you a little bit about these old fools in the Bible. And the good thing about King Saul was this. His sin, his being a fool, was this. God had told him that it was not his son Jonathan who was going to be king. The line was not going to be continued in the tribe of Benjamin, but in the tribe of Judah. David was to be king, and Saul knew it. And his son Jonathan knew it. And Jonathan accepted it. And Saul was seeking to put David to death because he did not want one of Judah to be king. He wanted one of Benjamin to be king. And he told his son, do you not understand that as long as David lives, you will never be king? And Jonathan said, I do not want to be king. I want David to be king, and I want to be next to him. But Saul, in his old age, became a fool by trying to overpower and outsmart the plans of God in having David to sit upon the throne and one of his descendants to come forth. But thank God, with his own lips, he said, I have played the fool. Now, the man who wrote the verse that I gave you in Ecclesiastes 4:13, we take it to be Solomon. And this is what he said. He said, better is a poor, wise youth than an old and foolish king who knows not how to take admonition anymore. And so there are some people who become so self-centered and satisfied, and they're so sure that they know everything in life, that no matter who comes and tries to admonish them, they know not how to receive admonition anymore. That is a verse that I have printed in the part of my Bible on the page in the front. What? An old and foolish king who knoweth not how to receive admonition anymore. And so you may come and admonish me as an old man and see if I take that admonition. But you be sure that the admonition you give me is from the Word of God, that what I've told you is wrong and what I've taught is wrong. I will accept that admonition. But I've had some to come and tell me. I remember one man 40 years ago telling me, I was speaking on a portion about Joseph, and he came up and he said, you were all wrong when you spoke about this on Joseph. And I opened the Bible and showed it to him. I said, what does this say? And he said, oh. And he offered no apology. He walked away and left me. Isn't that a sad thing? But I was prepared. If anyone can show something that I've taught wrong from the Word of God, please come and admonish me. I hope I never grow so old that I'm not able to receive admonition anymore. And I hope also that you young ones are not so wise that you cannot listen to old men when they try to give you advice. For this reason, in the Bible, at times old men give advice and young men refuse it to their harm. And at times, old men in the Bible receive advice from young men, and they receive that advice to their good. Let me tell you, when Solomon died and his son Rehoboam was to be king, the king came to Rehoboam and said, now your father has been a very severe man. However, if you will be a servant and serve the people of Israel and be compassionate, they will follow you all the days of your life. Do that, and your reign will be successful. But it says, the young men came to him and said, do not pay any attention to that counsel of the old men. This is what you give answer to the people. My father's sickness of the little finger is nothing. My sickness is like the thigh. And he whipped you with whips, and I will whip you with scorpions. And he put one burden upon you, and I'll put a greater burden upon you. The young man said, now you go and tell the people that. And so instead of listening to the old men and their wise counsel, he listened to the young men, and he went and told them that, and split the kingdom in two. And 10 of the tribes went to the north and followed Jeroboam, because he followed the folly of the youth, the counsel that they gave. And so you say, well then, always listen to old men and the counsel they give. No, at times the counsel they give is bad counsel. For this reason, think of Naaman. Here is Naaman, and he went to be healed of Elisha. And Elisha told him what he had to do to be healed. And this old man, Naaman, was indignant. He said, he expects me to go and dip 7 times in the muddy waters of the Jordan. He said, this is absurd. I'm not going to do such a thing. And he went away in a rage. And all of his servants came to him and in tenderness said, Father, if he had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more when he tells you to do a simple thing? And the counsel of those young ones prevailed, and Naaman went and dipped himself 7 times in the muddy waters of Jordan, and his skin became as a little child. And so at times, young people tell you the right thing to do. At times, old people tell you the right thing to do. So do not say that old men are always right. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes old men are wrong, and I can remember what a young man told me. There were old men leading an assembly, and the assembly was going down and down and down. And I asked him about it. He said, oh, he said, the old ones are determined to remain at the helm, even if the ship runs on the rocks. It makes no difference as long as they are at the helm. But there are others in the Bible who are quite prepared to step aside and let another come and take over. Jonathan was. He said, David, I'm prepared to let you take over. But there were other kings who, in their old age, were no longer wise. They were not like that simple, wise youth. But they were old and foolish, not able to take admonition anymore. And what is heartbreaking is this, that in their youth they were able to take admonition. Asa is such a man. When at first the prophet, the men of God, came and spoke to Asa and told him, look, trust in God. God is able to take you through. Do not lean upon the arm of the flesh. And Asa listened, and he obeyed them, and he was victorious in doing what the prophet told him to do, what the man of God told him to do. But later in life, when the enemies were coming, Asa went and he sought the assistance of those that were not of the will of God. And the prophet came and said, look, you were doing wrong this time. When you trusted God at first, did he not take you through? Why are you not trusting God this time? And it said that Asa went into a rage, and he took this prophet, and he cast him into prison, and he went and he persecuted the people. And afterward it said that Asa was diseased in his feet, and instead of going to God as he did in his youth, he simply went to physicians, not to pray to God and use physicians, but he simply went to physicians, and he was diseased in his feet, because that is what had happened spiritually. His walk had become corrupted. And when that happened, he refused to be admonished by this prophet. And to think back how God had favored him in his youth and had successfully enabled him to overcome a stronger enemy. But he cast that aside and he put this prophet into prison. And so this is what happens when an old and foolish king knows not how to receive admonition anymore. And so I've spoken of kings, but I must also speak about preachers, because the Bible talks about people that are preachers, and they are fools as well. This is what it says. You'll find two references in Proverbs, but it says, the legs of the lame hang loose. It says, so is a parable in the mouth of a fool. And so God knows that some of his preachers are like a crippled man that hobbles around. Why? Because he's not able to deal with a parable. And I remember that happened on one occasion. Many years ago, I was with some of my cousins, and they had heard me preach ever so many times. And we had gone to the funeral of another cousin. And the preacher got up, and he was reading a Bible for the funeral service. And I said, well, this ought to be interesting. I want to hear what he says about that parable. And what he said about the parable had nothing to do with the parable. He could have read any parable in the Bible and said the same thing that he said about this parable. And that verse came to mind, the parable in the mouth of a fool. And also it says, it's like a drunkard, and a thorn goes into his hand. It says, such is a parable in the mouth of a fool. And what is so sad is this. A learned, educated man in recent times, I heard him get up, and he said, now I'm going to tell you somewhat about the parables. And the first thing he said was wrong, because he had read what he was telling me somewhere else, because it didn't come to his mind. And I had heard that long ago, and had traced it out, and it was wrong, and I knew it, but he was saying it again. And what I did was to take him a chart that I have of all the parables, 57 distinct parables. 11 of them are repeated twice. 2 others are repeated 3 times. 70. There are 18 proverbs in the book of John. And I took him this chart, but he had split. He was gone, and he was not anywhere to be found to receive this chart that I was giving him on the parables. And so what happens is that some preachers stand up and they read a parable, but they interpret it correctly, and they read a portion of prophecy and they interpret it incorrectly. And so what happens is that old men that are preachers can be fools in what they say about the Bible, as well as helpful and instructive to you. Remember this, the Apostle Paul, when he preached, it said the Bereans had nobility about them. It said when the Apostle Paul preached, they went and they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things are so. And that is the person you have to watch, one that you trust. When they say a thing, search the Word of God, and if it is verified by the Word of God, believe it. But if not, no matter how much you respect the man, cast it aside. Because I know some, and a dear one, and you know him as well, who was old and had become foolish, and he could not receive admonition anymore. And so there are some who are wise in their youth, and they become fools in their old age. But there are some, thank God, like Joseph, who in their youth are wise, and in their old age are wise. And that is what God wants us to be. And this is what I'm thinking. I thought about Saul, King Saul, and his end. And I thought of David and what happened to him in his old age with Bathsheba. And I thought of Solomon in his old age and what happened with all of his wives leading him into idolatry. And so my prayer is this, oh God, rather than let me have an encounter with one like Bathsheba with Delilah, oh God, bring my days to an end. And I say to all of you young people who are in this wicked world, may God bring you to an end unless you turn out to be like some who are young. Young fools now, but may God prevent you in your youth from becoming an old and foolish king. Much more. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad that you tell us about ourselves in the Bible. We remember that this wise man spoke about youth and the dawn of life, vanity. And yet some, Father, like your son, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That is what we desire about the young ones here, our God, that they shall be wise in their youth and that they shall be wise in their old age as well. Let them not be Sauls or Davids or Solomons, our God, but let them be like Joseph, wise in their youth and wise in their old age. Our God, our prayer is, indeed, preserve us. Let us live out all our days, but our God, let those days be terminated if we are to bring shame and reproach, if the name of God is to be blasphemed in Israel among the Gentiles, because hear us and help us, Father, not to be fools, but to be wise, young and old, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.